How do you explain in an efficient but effective way why abortion victim photography is an effective way to do pro-life outreach? Stay tuned. That's what we're talking about today. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the Pro-Life Guys podcast, a show dedicated to equipping you with the tools that you need to have compassionate and compelling conversations about abortion so that together we can change minds, save lives, and transform our culture. My name is Cam. I am the host of the show. Welcome back to everybody who is a longtime listener, or maybe it's just your second episode or whatever. Welcome back to anybody who has listened to an episode before, and welcome to everybody who may be a first-time listener. This episode, again, we're doing a little bit of a flip-flop. We did our bonus episode, as were our guest episode on Tuesday this week, in which I talked to Trevor Polo to talk about the new polling that they've done at Protect Life Michigan, and gauging the impact of abortion victim photography and the acceptance of people polled on abortion victim imagery versus just regular pro-life messaging, text-based messaging. And so I think it's a really cool episode. If you haven't checked out that episode already, probably do so before finishing or continuing, I guess, with this episode here. It's a really cool episode. I know that it's quite long, well worth it. I will also drop in the show notes. So I'll drop that one in the show notes. I will also drop in the show notes the longer form conversation I did as a solo episode, maybe 6 or 8 months ago, talking about abortion victim photography. Obviously, this is a recurring theme on this podcast. I know that abortion victim imagery is not the only way to do pro-life outreach. However, working for the Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform and collaborating with groups like Created Equal and Protect Life Michigan and numerous others from throughout North America, but also around the world, we have found that abortion victim photography is, without a doubt, the most effective way to supplement the conversations we're having to change hearts and minds on the abortion issue. That not only do conversations take a really, really long time to work through a community, and so having tools that are going to prime people at the very least for conversations, but also do a lot of the heavy lifting already, changing the way they feel about abortion. Abortion victim imagery is central to the strategy that CCBR implements, and that's why I talk about it so often here on the show. It's not the only thing we do, and so I hope that maybe if your group isn't using abortion victim photography, you're still benefiting from the apologetics that we're talking about. But today I'm going to be talking about apologetics around abortion victim imagery and how to talk about abortion victim imagery. And I'm going to break this into two parts. The first part is talking with abortion advocates. The second part is talking with pro-lifers. And the reason why we're going to break it into two is because when you're talking to an abortion advocate, when you're talking to somebody who still thinks that in at least a few circumstances, abortion may be an appropriate solution to a challenging pregnancy, the goal of the conversation is not to talk strategy. You don't actually want to be getting into historic social reform. You don't want to be talking statistics. You don't want to be talking about anything other than abortion. You want as much time as humanly possible to be focused on whether or not abortion is an appropriate solution to a challenging pregnancy, and not whether or not the strategy that you're implementing is the most effective, most thoughtful, most well thought out, all that kind of thing. You want to be spending as little time as possible talking about strategy and as much time as possible talking about abortion. Whereas obviously those two get flipped on their head when you're talking to a pro-lifer. You don't need to talk about abortion itself because you're already agreeing with them that abortion is not an appropriate solution. Therefore, you don't want to be just talking about abortion because you already agree on it. That's not the most efficient use of your time or effective thing to be talking about. What you should be talking about is how to optimize your efforts and optimize the return on investment that you are having to change as many hearts and minds as you possibly can. And so those are the two routes that we're going to do. And I'm going to dive first of all into how do you talk to abortion advocates. whether you are using abortion victim photography yourself at a display in which you are talking to an abortion advocate, or whether you're simply talking about it, maybe you're not even using abortion victim photography, but they want to talk about the other people, the weirdos like me, who use abortion victim photography in our outreach and engagement. What do you do? Well, the goal is to get back to talking about abortion itself as quickly as possible. And you're going to use the tools of common ground, analogy, and question, just like you normally would in meeting them where they're at with regards to a justification and getting them to the central question of the humanity of preborn children. You are going to scale that up to talking through the common ground, analogy, and question about abortion victim photography. And instead of getting back to the humanity of the preborn, you're going to be getting back to the question of abortion itself. So somebody comes up to me and says, hey, what you're doing is absolutely disgusting. This is absolutely wretched to be showing these ripped apart baby pictures or fetal images on street corners and on doorsteps. This is absolutely absurd. A lot of this conversation is happening in Southwest Ontario right now. God bless all of those wonderful people advocating in London. If you don't know about what is happening in London, check out the show notes below on how you can help maintain free speech and effective pro-life outreach in the London and Southwest Ontario area. Somebody says something like this to me: I am not going to go into historical social reform. I am not going to go into the statistics to prove the efficacy of my work. First of all, because they're probably going to reject the efficacy and statistics. They're not going to accept the polling that we've done. They're probably not even going to read it and give you the time of day to explain it. And second of all, I'm not going to go into the historic social reform because, again, I want to spend as little time as humanly possible here as I can. So what I'm going to do, common ground. I agree with you that these images are incredibly difficult to look at and very, very profound in how they impact people regardless of whether they've had an abortion themselves or not. Okay, I'm going to try to capture the fact that these are really difficult images to look at. Building on that, imagine that 100,000 two-year-olds were being killed every single year in Canada, that it was legal to kill two-year-olds, and that the vast majority of the population thought that that was an appropriate way to deal with a challenging parenting situation. Not only that, but the majority of people who thought that it was wrong to kill a two-year-old child didn't really care very much and weren't really doing as much as they could, weren't acting with the urgency necessary to protect those 100,000 born children. What would you do? Well, you try to explain it to them. You try to tell them that what was happening needed to end. And what if they didn't listen? Well, then you would show them that 100,000 born children were being killed. You would capture both the who and the what. You would show them who was being killed and what was happening to them. Agreed? And if we're going to use victim imagery to change the hearts and minds of Canadians for the 100,000 born children being killed every year in Canada, then why not 100,000 preborn children? Why would it be appropriate to use victim imagery for 100,000 born children, but not appropriate for 100,000 preborn children? At that point, you're getting back to, well, it's different because they're human or they're not human, or because abortion is a woman's right, or abortion needs to happen or something like that. Okay, let's talk about abortion. Let's not talk about this strategy. At times, they might say, well, we still wouldn't show victim imagery because everyone knows that it's wrong to kill a two-year-old. And so maybe at that point, I'm going to push them a little bit further and simply challenge them of like, what if people didn't know that it was wrong? What if for decades people had been told day after day after day by the media, by the school, by their government, by everybody in their life that it was okay to navigate their challenges and solve the problems that they're facing by killing their innocent born children? And what if they had come to believe it because of that messaging, because of the consistency of that? Again, we're trying to obviously liken it very much towards abortion, where this has been inundated into society for decades now, that this is an appropriate solution to a challenging pregnancy and that we've lost all contact. And imagine that they were saying that two-year-old children were not actually human beings, that they hadn't actually fully developed, that they weren't actually even members of the human species. They were just blobs of tissue. Again, we're going to use a lot of the imagery. I just want to liken preborn children to born children. And very soon they're going to latch on, almost certainly, towards one of the differences between born and preborn children. Okay, then let's talk about preborn children. Let's talk about the situations that mothers and fathers are faced with. Let's talk about how we do not solve problems by killing innocent humans. Let's talk about abortion. Okay, so hopefully that makes sense. If absolutely necessary, maybe, and you're not gaining traction on the two-year-old children, then maybe you pull back the curtain on, well, can you think of any times in the past where an injustice has been occurring, but the vast majority of people have been turning a blind eye towards that injustice and refusing to either acknowledge that it was an injustice or refusing to act with the urgency necessary? Again, if at all possible, I'm not naming an injustice because I don't want to get into a debate of conflating one issue with another and trying to simmer down all of the pushback around how dare you liken mothers who have abortions to Nazis, or how dare you liken mothers who have abortions to people who have who are lynching Black Americans, or that sort of thing. I would argue, and I think as we're going to get into with pro-lifers, that there is a very valid comparison to be had there when it comes to the victims of the injustice and the abstract argumentation around it. I'm not likening the perpetrators in any capacity. However, I am likening the overarching abstract issue and the victims of the issue. And so that's what I'm doing when I'm talking to an abortion advocate. What do I do when I'm talking to a pro-lifer? For a pro-lifer, I'm not necessarily trying to get to the issue of abortion because they already agree that abortion's wrong. I am going to start with the exact same progression, though. Imagine what we would do if this was happening. And then you are, I agree with you that these images are very difficult. Imagine what we would do if 100,000 born children were being killed and most people thought that it was okay. Most people ignored the issue entirely. And even those who knew that it was wrong often were not responding with the urgency that the issue or violation demanded. What would we do? We would capture it and showcase it with images. At that point, I am going to dive into the historic record and how we are adopting and adapting strategies from successful social reformers throughout history to showcase the fact that we are following in the footsteps of what worked. People did not like William Wilberforce and Thomas Clarkson when they showed the reality of what slavery meant for Black slaves who had been kidnapped from Africa and sold onto plantations and other factories and whatnot in the Caribbean and the southern states. They didn't like it. They did not like the people who showed them. And yet what they liked even less was the reality that the images showed. And that reality catalyzed shift in Britain that transformed an empire that was built upon the backs and blood of slaves into one which fully rejected slavery legally within 50 years of those images catalyzing categorical shift within the British population. Similarly, in America, you can look at the child labor practices and how showing the victims of abusive and unregulated working conditions changed the way Americans viewed child labor and changed the way they behaved. You can talk about even contemporary examples of whether it's foreign unrest and refugee programs, whether it is groups that showcase the starvation and other plight of those living in developing nations. Whether it's war images or whether it's images of other social issues. I love confronting people on things like the Syrian refugee crisis and disproportionate violence towards visible minorities in America. I know there's an awful lot that we can say. I know that's a big can of worms, but I don't think that anyone can debate the behavioral response that came when Black Lives Matter as an organization started showing the images and videos that they did to capture the attention and mobilize the behavior of Americans and people around the world. Obviously, I'm not endorsing the organization Black Lives Matter and their underpinning philosophies and anything like that, but I do not think that you can look at their campaigns and say that they did not work when it came to changing hearts and minds on the issue and mobilizing people towards action. It has worked throughout history. It is working for other movements right now. And because of that, it warrants at least an effort, an attempt by pro-lifers to try to follow in their footsteps. And that's what we have done. And so first, common ground analogy question. Second, talk through social reform historically. And you don't need to know everything about them. It's valuable to know something about one or two examples, whether that is reading Jonathan Van Meren's wonderful book, Seeing is Believing, whether that's looking at other podcasts we've gone in depth on historical social reform. I'll drop those links in the show notes below, as I mentioned. I won't reiterate them entirely here, but looking at successful social reform movements. And finally, I'm going to showcase some of the results that we've witnessed. Not only am I going to showcase the change of hearts and minds of abortion advocates, I'm going to capture the polling that CCBR conducted a number of years ago now, 67.3% of people 6 months after receiving one of our postcards were willing to admit they felt more negatively about abortion after viewing an image of an abortion victim than they had before. 67.3, two-thirds of people were willing to admit they felt more negatively. Or the polling that I just discussed on Tuesday, the brand new polling from Protect Life Michigan, which showed that while an additional 10% of people said that they did not like or have positive feelings towards pro-lifers who showed abortion victim images, an additional 20% of those people were willing to admit they felt more negatively about abortion. And so there are massive gains when pro-lifers are willing to endure that additional small proportion of people who will express some degree of hostility towards us for showing images that will disproportionately impact their worldview on abortion. I literally just finished a 1 hour outreach choice chain holding a sign with the sign I was holding had a 22 week old aborted preborn child on it. We were outside of SAIT, which is the South Alberta Institute for Technology. I talked to 15 people in the span of just over an hour and had very productive conversations with each of them. And during that time, by God's grace, we weren't sworn at even by a single person. We had no instance on the corner that I was on whatsoever. It does happen, but it does happen at all kinds of pro-life events. For anyone who's done 40 Days for Life, for anyone who's done Life Chain, for anyone who has participated in the March for Life, even without abortion victim imagery, there is tremendous pushback because it is the ideology that they are pushing back against first and foremost. And at times, they push back stronger against strategies that they know are going to be more compelling. And so, talk about that. Talk about the Protect Life Michigan polling that I talked about at length with Trevor earlier this week. So, check that out. That's the progression I'm going to walk through. Logically, why does this make sense? And then pragmatically, why ought we be doing it? Because I do believe that this gives us an opportunity in speaking with pro-lifers, particularly pro-lifers who appreciate the importance of education, to be able to highlight these historic examples and the current results that we are witnessing and challenge them. Challenge them not only to accept your use of abortion victim photography, not only my use of abortion victim photography, but challenge them to consider and start using abortion victim photography themselves. That the return on investment that we have seen through our polling, through the polling that Protect Life Michigan has done, through the anecdotal experience of so many team members that we have been a part of, has been overwhelming. With regards to the impact that abortion victim imagery, together with compassionate and compelling conversations, or even on its own, has in changing the way people think about abortion, the way they feel about abortion, and the way they act regarding abortion. So that's what I'm going to do. I am going to, common ground, I agree with you that abortion victim photography is really, really difficult to look at, regardless whether somebody has had an abortion or not. Imagine that 100,000 or take the statistics from your own local region, whatever makes sense. 100,000 born children were being killed every year in Canada, that it was fully legal, and that for decades, people had been convinced that this was an appropriate way to cope with challenging parenting situations. The majority of people agreed with the killing of two-year-olds, and that even those who did not rarely responded with the urgency necessary. What would you do? Would victim imagery be appropriate to showcase that injustice, to change hearts and minds, and to mobilize people? And if for that injustice it would be appropriate, why not for abortion? Then I'm going through historical social reform, where they're talking about William Wilberforce, Thomas Clarkson, and the abolition of slavery in Britain, where they're talking about Lewis Hine and the National Child Labor Committee, and their overturning of drastically unsafe and incredibly young working ages within the American working population at the turn of the 20th century, where they're talking about the civil rights movement and images like those of Emmett Till, Jim Zwerg, and countless others being attacked by dogs and water hoses, and the catalytic effect that each of those images, particularly that of Emmett Till, a 15-year-old boy who was tragically tortured and murdered simply for allegedly interacting with a white woman in a slightly inappropriate way, speaking to her while she was behind the till of a corner store. Particularly his image in catalyzing shift with the civil rights movement, or even contemporary examples, whether it's refugee crises, whether it is drinking and driving, anti-smoking campaigns, Black Lives Matter, foreign unrest or war. And the greater the injustice and the more apathetic or unaware or oblivious or ignorant or simply refusing to respond the population, the more public that imagery becomes, right? That certainly you can make the argument that victim imagery in overseas wars is not displayed on street corners and on doorsteps. And that's first of all, because there's very little that is required of the average Canadian when it comes to direct action, and there's very little capacity. And when we hear that there is a war happening in one part of the world or another part of the world, already many people are responding because we know what is happening and who it is happening to. Abortion victim imagery, just like any other victim imagery, captures both the what and the who in a profoundly human way and showcases that to people who desperately need to have their heart and mind changed, or at the very least need to be mobilized for action. Finally, I'm going to share some of the anecdotal evidence and polling results that I've been a part of, and that I know the 67.3% of people willing to admit 6 months after they received one of CCBR's postcards that they felt more negatively about abortion, or the incredible statistics that Trevor shared from the Protect Life Michigan polling that they did. As I shared in the previous episode with Trevor, I walked through exactly all of these steps with a young guy named Leaf, who was one of the leaders of the Reform Christian Club at the UCF, University of Central Florida campus, while we were doing our abortion awareness project down there. He initially came into the conversation saying that he thought that it was a terrible idea, that we were simply turning more people off of the pro-life movement by showcasing the very difficult pictures of aborted children. And within 10 minutes, he had gone from that to, this makes complete sense, and I would like to not only get personally involved, but also I want this kind of training and this kind of education to come to my entire Reform Christian group on campus here so that we too can join the fight and be as effective as possible. That's where we're going. That's what I would suggest. We are going to do a giveaway. We have two copies of Seeing is Believing. If you are interested in learning more yourself, or if you want to give away a copy to a friend, a family member, a church leader, a member of your community, all you got to do is you got to like the video, you got to subscribe to the YouTube channel, and you got to drop a comment on the YouTube video. And so we're going to drop the YouTube channel, as we always do, in the link below. If you are a podcatcher kind of person, everyone who comments, likes, and is already subscribed or become subscribed to our YouTube channel will be entered in to win a copy of Seeing is Believing by my friend and colleague, Jonathan Van Maren. Thanks so much. As always, don't hesitate to reach out if you have suggestions or ideas, questions, comments, concerns, queries, whatever they may be. Hit me up at email@prolifeguys.com or hit me up on socials. I see all of them that come in to our YouTube conversation, Instagram, DMs, or Facebook messages, anything like that. I get to see all of that. So thanks a ton, and may God bless you abundantly wherever you're at, however many hours are left in your day.